Tomorrow is the Masters. The weather outside, it is overcast. It is, what would you say, low 50s? It's not as warm as it's been the last couple of days.
Something like that, yeah.
But a perfect day, like to go home and take a nap.
Yes.
This is great napping weather. You're on the clock right now, because with the Masters coming up this weekend, it is the perfect time to perfect the golf nap. The golf nap is very, very special. It can't be a long one this weekend because you don't want to miss any of the action. But you have to time it perfectly depending on Saturday or even Sunday when the group that you want to watch is going out or will be featured. But there's something special about this weekend and the Masters golf nap. I will tell you that I have perfected it. I have it down to a science that it's just long enough. I can nap for about 35 minutes. I say, I'm shutting off the television, putting the phone on silence.
Yep.
I start to drift off. It's a good, solid, probably deep sleep of about 20 to 25 minutes. Just enough. Boom, I'm up. I've only missed a couple of holes. I'm good.
Yep.
So this is you can work on it today so that you have it for the Masters that begins tomorrow at Augusta. We'll discuss our favorites and what may happen. And no, Tiger Woods will not be at the Masters. He will still be a storyline, but how long will a guy that has won 5 green jackets continue to be a storyline? But you will not see Tiger Woods' name on the leaderboard. Some will be very concerned that the void is there, but this weekend to me is always about the course. How many other golf tournaments, whether they be majors or yearly stops, you can say is all about the course. Augusta National is one for me. It's about the course, not about, hey, is Tiger there or not? Now, you'd love to have him there. He brings attention. But it's about the course this weekend and who will be able to navigate through that course. We were talking in the last hour about coaches that depart from this area that either get forgotten about, people don't ever want to see him again. Some coaches, you know they'll never come back. Like Bill Callahan's never going to come back here. Bo, never going to come back here. Mike Riley, as nice of a guy as he is, probably never going to come back here. Doc Sadler came back here to work. Tim Miles will come back here, and Tim Miles will be embraced. John writes into the Equitable Bank inbox, how people think about former Nebraska coaches. Congratulations, Miles. Wish you all the best. Hey, Bill Callahan and you. Yeah, you, Mike Riley. Go F yourself. Seems about right to me. The one former coach that left and has had success, greater success than he had at his stop, Dana Altman. Dana Altman at the end, the 1.5 after the flirtation with Arkansas, wasn't great. But I'm curious how long it took people to say, man, Dana, I hope you kill it in Eugene. Was that immediate? You know, Dana's a guy that has still comes back to the state, whether to check in on the fam, or you'll bump into Dana Altman in Omaha just randomly, whether he's back here to recruit or back here to visit friends, to hang out. Is that necessarily the case? Like shortly after he left to go to Oregon? And how long before people said, man, Coach, I hope you have success. Or we're like rooting for him. And you know, it's been a while since Dan Altman has been the head coach at Creighton when you think about how long Mac has been here. But but Tim Miles is a little bit different. Guy got fired. He's 2 games over 500. And people are now becoming San Jose State Spartan fans and finding out more of what a rebuilding job it is going to take. Speaking of rebuilding jobs, when Barry Alvarez went to be the football coach at Wisconsin, that was a rather large rebuilding job. But in the course of a short amount of time, he got that program headed in the right direction. He used his knowledge of working under Hayden Fry, and he used his knowledge of what it was like to be at Nebraska. And Wisconsin became Nebraska of the Big Ten and had great success and then made the transition. He's one of the few that are left that go from being a football coach to an athletic director, and you could say they had success in both areas. And now his time as the athletic director is coming to an end when he retires in the middle of the summer. That's a three-decade run in Madison that he has turned around that program. He has changed Wisconsin forever. You know what Wisconsin has right now? And you can get this from an athletic director. I mean, Nebraska hasn't had what I call swagger as an athletic program since Bill Byrne was here. Now, Bill Moose has tried to bring it back because when you're in the power chair, you got to have some swag as well. You got to have big kahunas. You got to swing for the fence. And you have to openly let everybody know that you want to win. Bill Byrne did that. Bill Moose has done that to a smaller extent than what Bill Byrne did. But one of the things that, in all the stories that will be written about Barry Alvarez, is he brought swagger to Wisconsin athletics. Wisconsin is supposed to be, hey, great town, mad town, great place to go and party. Hey, man, I'm there on 420 and I'm consuming as many brownies as possible in the park. There have been nights in Madison where I don't remember where I was going. I don't remember if I even woke up. No doubt it's a great college town. It's a great town to party in. It's a great atmosphere inside of the stadium. Barry Alvarez got people to care about what happens inside of the stadium, that it wasn't just a party. And it wasn't just the beginning of the fourth quarter or the fifth quarter. He got people to care about the stuff that was going on the football field. And it trickled down. This is what happens. This is why getting Nebraska football turned around is so important, because it's a trickle-down effect. Wisconsin football got turned around. Wisconsin football started to have success. And what happened? It trickled down. The swagger throughout the entire athletic department, men and women. And all of a sudden, Wisconsin in men's and women's sports are competitive. He walks out the door, they've got the best football program in the West. They have got the number one volleyball program. They're successful in basketball. They've had their ups and downs in hockey, but they're extremely competitive in both men's and women's hockey. I don't know about a lot of their other sports, but they're marquee sports. They're really good at. And that swagger comes down from football, because football is good. It's happened in Lincoln before. When Nebraska football has been good, it's a trickle-down effect. All of a sudden, hey, basketball is good. Well, baseball is good. And you hope that the next person that comes in, and they're not going to be a clone of Barry Alvarez, doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the experience, but has the same kind of ability to bring swagger. I think that's why we looked at Bill Moose, and Bill Moose was different from the guy that replaced Bill Byrne to the guy that took over for the guy that replaced Bill Byrne, or the guy that should not have been the athletic director at Nebraska between Bill Byrne and Bill Moose. Bill Moose came in, and he had some bravado. Man, he might have been just throwing stuff out, but we were eating that stuff up because we hadn't heard it in a while. Now, it hasn't necessarily led to success. It's been a rough go on the male side in Lincoln, outside of a couple of sports. But Bill Moose came in and said, we're going to have some swagger. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back, and then I'm going to make some hires, and I'm going to have the main teams bring that back. Alvarez got that going. He did it himself on the football field, then moved to the power chair and said, we're going to keep that going. But now with him leaving, it's a weird time in the Big Ten. The Big Ten still privately is picking up pieces from the debacle of last summer and early fall. And then the story getting out in March about how it all went down. Privately, they're picking up the pieces. Kevin Warren's done a good job of publicly staying out of the public sphere. Okay, he's kind of gone quiet. He's doing things behind the scenes. He'll pop back up probably in the next month or so, and then you'll see him in the middle of the summer. But he doesn't have the knowledge of Barry Alvarez. Jim Phillips at Northwestern is now the commissioner of the ACC. There are athletic directors that have been in their positions for fewer years in the Big Ten. So where is that wealth of experience coming from? And now the shifting of power, or the movement of power Gene Smith at Ohio State, I think, becomes the most powerful man in the Big Ten. Now, he was already powerful because you're carrying the Ohio State brand, which is the number one brand in all of college athletics. But you had Barry Alvarez to kind of be on the side. Hey, Barry Alvarez swings a big stick. But now Gene Smith of Ohio State is the power broker in the Big Ten. But as Barry Alvarez exits and kind of got me onto this discussion about how we embrace coaches and how we judge their success and how we treat them when they leave. For the most part, when we judge athletic directors, Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma is one of those guys that is at the top of the list. Why is Joe Castiglione one of the top, if not in some cases, the number one athletic director in all of college athletics right now? One, he's been at OU for a long, long time. I mean, Joe C. has been in Norman. Are we talking 2 decades? But we judge him on his hires. Facility upgrades. New facilities. And winning. We judge Barry Alvarez on hires, winning. But also, I think another part of judging athletic directors, and you may have a different benchmark of how you judge the success of an athletic director. Is it all on hires? I mean, how do we judge Bill Moose right now? Bill Moose had to come in, and there was the obvious hire that he just had to convince, got Scott Frost. It wasn't like he went all over the country doing his own search. He came in and said, you got to go get Scott Frost as your head coach. All right. And then he found Fred Hoiberg out of a job and said, Fred, how would you like to be the basketball coach at Nebraska? Those were two obvious choices. Haven't panned out so far. Is that on Moose's tab? Additional hires? Will Bolt. Now, you might say Will Bolt was an obvious choice. Okay. Will Bolt's having success with Nebraska. So when you're judging athletic directors, is it on hires and then the result of their success? Is this somebody that has swagger, brings pride, doesn't embarrass an athletic department, raises a ton of money on their own? But there's another aspect of athletic directors that if you're judging on their success and how good they are, I think there's another element. All of those, I believe. Alvarez checks all those boxes. Joe Castiglione, you can't disagree with any of his hires. I mean, in football, he went from Bob Stoops, and he had to be convinced that Lincoln Riley was the guy. Stoops said, hey, we got this guy. But Joe C. has to sign off on it. And then you go to hire Lon Kruger in basketball. So you got Porter Mosier to leave Loyola. You got Porter Mosier to leave Loyola and come to Oklahoma. You've made other really good hires. But the other part of like a Joe C. who hasn't had to do this as much and Barry Alvarez is you know when to fire somebody. You know when things are, even if you hired that person, you know when to fire them. Barry Alvarez, one of the things on all the stories that will be told about him and all of the bullet points of his success, you know what might be one of the most important things that Barry Alvarez did? Unfortunately for the rest of the Big Ten, is he was like, okay, Gary Anderson, you're in a guts-to-go situation. You want to leave? I'm not stopping you. Barry Alvarez hired Gary Anderson, but then didn't wait that long to realize that he had made a mistake and that Gary Anderson wasn't going to be the right coach for Wisconsin. And said, we're not doing that. We're not going to get a guy that doesn't want to embrace our identity. I made a mistake. I'm cleaning up that mistake. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. And so he went out and hired a guy that was completely opposite in Paul Chryst. And look where Wisconsin football is. Wisconsin football sits in the driver's seat in the West Division until somebody knocks him out of there. So it's not only judging hires, and then what they do on the playing field, facilities, raising money, not embarrassing your athletic department or your university. And then the other aspect is, you know when to fire somebody. If things aren't going well, you know when to pull the ripcord and say, either I didn't hire you or I hired you. I made a mistake. I thought it was going to work out. But you know when the jumping off point is, so you don't get too far down the road and then you're screwed. Think about Barry Alvarez with his football coach. If they would have gone another year or so, and one of the downfalls of Gary Anderson was, and I think he's perfect for a group of five, not good power five. We saw that at Oregon State, is he wasn't recruiting in state. He went out of state to get players instead of in state. And that's not the Alvarez model. You start in, you work out. You go another year and a half at Wisconsin, and they let that kind of recruiting philosophy ride. What happens to Wisconsin in today's conference? What happens to the players in state that other schools would have said, how come Wisconsin's not recruiting that big offensive lineman in Green Bay? Let's go get him. He knew when to make a firing. I think that's another aspect of how you judge athletic directors and how good they are. Every athletic director wants to hire a football coach. That's the biggest thing. Bill Burns to this day tells me his only regret at Nebraska is he didn't get to hire a football coach. He was told by the football coach who the next football coach was going to be. And I think at Wisconsin, you know, and then they got a big hire coming up, and it looks like it'll be his second in command who has been preparing for this moment. But that's one hire that Wisconsin can't fan on. They have to find the right guy to keep that swagger going in the entire athletic department. All right, 11:19. Scott Chandler is going to join us here in a little bit. Speaking of hirings, Fred Hoiberg made a hire yesterday. Got to hear Nick Lesner on the radio last night. Impressive basketball guy. Fred is a diehard 24/7, 365 basketball guy. Has more knowledge than we can ever hope to have. He's got basketball people on his staff. He just hired another basketball guy that's got great basketball IQ. Now, what does it mean to the guys on the floor? We'll get into that when you return. It's Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.